The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition. We're looking ahead to Wednesday's racing from Epsom on this edition of the podcast. Plenty of racing to go at though on Wednesday. We've also got meetings at Catterick in the afternoon alongside summer jumping action at Perth and into the evening of racing at Lingfield and Taunton. And of course, it's the second day of the Punchestown Festival as well. Grade 1 action on that card. Plenty of racing to come and you'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:20. Sam Norris here joined by Craig Forsyth, who's going to take a look ahead to a couple of races at Epsom on tomorrow's card. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, all very good. It's into the silly season now, Sam, where, you know, we're up to 6 and 7 meetings a day, yeah. So all very busy at the moment.
Yes, it's going to get hectic going forward, although I noticed you mentioned on Twitter, I think last week at Newmarket, you'd made more notes on the racing than you had done for the months previous. It's at least been informative.
Yeah, definitely, and that's what it is at this time of year. Mm. There's a lot of races where, you know, you're looking for potential improvers and, you know, yards that are sending out horses that are tending to need the first run and seeing what yards is more forward than others. And then, of course, making notes on the races and timing the sectionals and just trying to stay ahead of the game, Sam. That's the most important thing. And looking for clues. So, you know, there's, you know, work already. There's a few runners, you know, starting to come out and have their second runs already, particularly some of the two-year-olds, you know, a quick turnaround between first and second start. So I'm interested to see how they go. Mm. Probably the best juvenile I've seen so far was the Mark Johnson horse that won at Windsor last week. I think he's been the most impressive juvenile I've seen so far, but it's very early days. Early part of the season.
Have there been many edges or angles that have caught your eye at present? I was having a conversation with someone the other day. Some of the Godolphin horses look a little bit more forward. They've been in Maidan, obviously had a bit of sun on their backs. We've had a terrible winter and a long winter here. So are you seeing that some appear more forward than others?
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously, you know, Charlie Appleby's horses have been in terrific form. He had a great time of it at Newmarket. In the north, Kevin Ryan, you know, his handicapper seemed to be fairly well forward as well. He's made a terrific start. And of course, you know, Richard Farhi, doesn't matter what time of year it is for the Farhi camp, he just keeps on delivering, doesn't he? And Forest Ranger bagged a nice prize for him last week down at Newmarket.
Yeah. In terms of horses from last year, are there any horses that you sort of had on your mind as 2-year-olds last year that you thought, I'm looking forward to seeing them at 3?
Yeah, but mainly, I wouldn't say at the top end in terms of group races. Right. More like handicappers where you think, you know, they've had 3 quiet runs and the pedigree suggests they're going to be much better at 3. And, you know, in terms of what actual ability they've got, it's a little bit of guesswork because you're just, you know, hoping that they've been putting a few pounds too low. But, you know, 2 to 3-year-olds in particular, you know, the improvement that can happen, You've basically got to start again this year with this year's form. I don't like going back and using last year's form for 2-year-olds as 3-year-olds this time.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see plenty of examples now with horses at the top of the betting on handicap debut with form figures of 0-0-0. But they're clearly well punted on handicap debut. As you say, I've had 3 quiet runs in maidens, novice events, etc.
Yeah, there's a Willie Haggis horse at Yarmouth on Tuesday.
Right.
That's had 3 runs all at 7 furlongs. He's by Nathaniel, who, you know, sure to improve.
Yeah.
Starting off on a mark in the mid-60s.
Yeah.
And running at 10 furlongs for the first time. You know, so that's just one example of, you know, again, guesswork in terms of the ability. But, and you know, as well, you know, you're looking at horses that you think have probably peaked it to, you know, the other side of the coin where, you know, you want to take them on, ones to take on. Because there's a lot of horses that, you know, for one reason or another, seem to get a very high rating as juveniles. And, you know, if they're not growing and, you know, progressing, you know, they can be difficult to place at three. And you see a lot of them, particularly sprinters, miss out the three-year-old season and come back as four and five-year-olds. So again, you're looking for angles like those because, you know, it's sometimes they can be very short on the market because people are, you know, looking back and concentrating very much on the two-year-old form. And obviously, you know, the progression isn't there. They're not capable of running to the same level this year. So, yeah, I always find that as a real positive angle.
Yeah. Is Punchestown on your radar much this week? Obviously, the jump season coming to a conclusion this week.
Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah.
In terms of betting there, I would doubt it, to be honest. But, you know, Punchestown in, you know, past years, you're looking at smaller fields, and although, you know, there's some class horses, you know, turned up there in the park.
Yeah, yeah.
But this year's renewal, particularly the first day, which is all I've seen, you know, all the like the novice staying chasers have stood their ground. You've got cracking field. The novice hurdle is an absolute terrific race.
Yeah.
The champion chase, absolutely, I mean, top draw.
For Willie Mullins to be running three of his stable superstars against each other.
It's just, you know, it's just Cheltenham all over again, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Only it's on better ground this time rather than running on desperate
ground. It is indeed. And, you know, looking back to Punchestown last year, Sam, I think we've probably seen one of the best races of the season there.
The Punchestown Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Sizing John, Jack Adam and Coney Gree in the air together over the last.
It was just, for me, that was the best race of, you know, last year's National Hunt season.
I'd
this
agree,
year, there's absolutely no doubt what we've seen this year. That was the cue card race at Ascot when he finished second to Wayne Patiently. That was a fantastic race.
Okay.
That was definitely my highlight of the National Hunt season.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was no money involved. I just absolutely loved watching that race.
Yeah. No, I completely echo your sentiments about the Punchestown Gold Cup last year. To see those three in the air together, you don't often get too much from Des Scarhill, but even even he was enjoying that.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable to see three top class chasers going at it like they did. And yeah. Great
indeed
for the sport.
Yeah, good few days of racing to come at Punchestown, of course. We're going to turn our attention on to the racing that we've got coming up on Wednesday, and a couple on the card at Epsom for their season opener, starting with the 210, which is a sprint handicap over five furlongs, and plenty of familiar names in here, plenty of older horses lining up to take their chance. Where do you go for a selection here, Craig?
The selection's going to be Tarbush of Paul Midgley's. Stall 13 probably, you know, under normal circumstances, wouldn't be seen as a positive draw, to be honest. I would prefer to be drawn lower. But you look at the makeup of this race, Sam, and, you know, a horse I do like is Just Another Bottle. You know, I think he's going to progress again this year. Really strong front-running sprinter. But he's drawn in one, and you look at the competition he's likely to face for the lead. Just That Lord's in three, and you've got Taverner in five and A Leaf in two. So, you know, you've got four or five really strong front runners, and I just see the pace collapsing here. I know we're on a downhill track over five furlongs, very much placing an emphasis on speed, but I just see this race falling apart. And I think a strong traveller like Tarbush, who, you know, doesn't always find a massive amount off the bridle, will be absolutely suited to the demands of the sprint. He's had one run this year. He travelled really well up with the pace at Kempton, but he just hit a brick wall just before the furlong pole. He was going back really quickly after that. He just shaped like he badly needed that first run. Paul Midgley's horses, you know, tend to need one or two runs to hit top form. He did have a winner at Thirsk on Saturday, which is a huge positive. I think it was Mr. Orange that won at Thirsk for him. So, yeah, that was a positive. And I just, you know, off a fast pace, Tarbush is going to get the race run perfectly, and I think he'll be a price, and I think he'll be reasonable each way value, because I can see him travelling and hopefully at least, you know, picking up some place money at the very worst.
Okay, Tarbush then in the 210 race at Epsom. That's the opener. On to the 320 now, which is the Great Metropolitan Handicap over a mile and a half. 13 of them go to post for this one. Take it away, Craig.
Yeah, I like Royal Line, Sam. I think he's still one to keep on side. He's still a colt, a Dubawi colt, so, you know, the fact that he hasn't been gelded, I would imagine, you know, they're still hoping that he can make the progression into pattern company.
Because these connections don't do handicappers, really.
They don't. And, you know, he's only had one start and a couple of starts in handicap company. And on his return at Doncaster, you know, again, he went out like a light, really, and it was just had all the hallmarks of a horse that was just rusty on his first start back as a 4-year-old. And he's got to be given another chance. You know, his mark is, you know, still workable, 95, if he is going to make the improvement into listed in group races. He needs to be winning off this type of mark. And you look back to last year's renewal of this race, and, you know, the class angle came through there. Gallipiat of Mark Johnson's was near the top of the weights on that occasion, and he took this race 12 months ago. So, you know, hopefully the track won't pose too many problems. You know, he's a well-made son of Dabawi, but he does look well-balanced, so he shouldn't have too many problems with the hill. And, you know, he's the 4-year-old most unexposed horse in the race, and for me, the one that's still open to the most improvement.
Okay. Now that's the 3:20 then, where Royal Line is the choice for John Gosden and James Doyle. Goes with Craig's earlier selection, which was Tarbouche in the opener at Epsom. You can join us for all of the racing from 1:20 on Racing Radio on Wednesday afternoon. Hope you'll be with us for that. Craig, thank you for your time and best of luck with the selections.
Thank you, Sam.